Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Budiwa Gabaza, and for today, we're getting into a conversation that we continue to have on this platform, and that's around funding the next round of businesses in South Africa. Often we talk to a number of business owners that talk about the struggles around funding in South Africa, but also tied to access to market and all of those types of issues. And for today, we're going to be talking to, I was actually just doing some quick research just now, and I see that we last spoke to Catherine Weinberg, who is the CEO of Fetola, 2 years ago in February 2022. So it has been, you know, a while since we last spoke to Catherine. But we are also joined by Maluta Nechaulu, who is Senior Lead Green Economy Portfolio for corporate social investment over at Nedbank. And the reason why we're having a chat with them is that they have launched a new platform that's called Hlulu, and they're hoping to actually address what I never thought about as a funding issue, but it is an interesting one. In student finance, we talk about the missing middle, you know, people that are too rich to access, let's say, NASFA's funding, but maybe you are below a certain income threshold to afford, university and that type of thing. And it would seem as if the same concept is lying in the small business space, and especially targeting businesses that have an element of green to them. So that's what we're going to be talking about for today. So maybe where I can begin for today, Catherine, starting with you, because, you know, we've spoken to you before about this. What's your interest? Because obviously this is a partnership that you have with a number of players to make something like this happen. What's the structure? How did you put something like this together? Have I characterized the problem in the correct way?
Yeah, thanks, Madua. I think the important thing is to understand Fetola's mandate. So our task or our purpose is to help people to start, grow, and scale successful businesses. We're particularly interested in environmentally positive businesses, because really with the growing concerns about climate change, changes in the weather, you know, these really floods and droughts, we can't ignore that anymore.
Yeah.
And so the launch of Hlulu is really phase three of a circular economy accelerator initiative that we've been working on with our partners, Nedbank, JP Morgan Chase, and the Embassy of Finland.
Yep.
And the first parts, the first components of the program were to test and prove that it's possible to help small South African businesses, some of whom had never heard of circularity, if it's possible through education and some support to help them to become more circular. And by that, I mean businesses that are now much more environmentally positive, and they really understand some of the crucial elements in order to build a business that's planet positive.
Yeah.
So that's and this is the third phase of that initiative. And this third phase is about saying, okay, we've shown people how to build businesses that are circular. How can we help them to scale? And as most of us know, that there are two elements in order to be able to scale a business. One is you need to be able to access growing markets. So as you grow, you need to be able to access bigger and more sophisticated markets. And then secondly, as you access those markets, you have to be able to get growth finance. And so in particular, the partnership with Nedbank is that they have a mandate and a really deep interest in providing growth finance for businesses, first at an early stage, in kind of concessionary finance, grant finance, and to grow them so that they can really be viable commercial businesses. And so the Hlulu platform stands in the middle, helping entrepreneurs to get their hands on the money.
Yeah.
Because there's a funny situation in South Africa, there's lots of money wanting to be lent. So there's many, many different SME funds, many different people saying, we've got money, we want to invest. And the truth of the matter is that there are not enough investment-ready businesses. So the entrepreneurs want the money, but they're not ready, they don't have the skills, or they're not prepared in a way that makes them investable. And so that's the purpose of Clulu, is to bridge this gap, is to help entrepreneurs, if you like, to actually get their hands on the money that they really need to grow.
All right. Let's actually bring in the money person here. Maluta, you're from Nedbank. And it is interesting. I'm going to ask you a typical banker question about risk, right? Because in reading up about this and also just engaging with people, we're talking about a market that is typically too small for VC, too big for microfinance, but seen as a bit too risky for typical banking products and solutions, right? But here you are as a bank, you know, jumping headfirst into something like this. Maybe you could talk to us, you know, around some of that rationale.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's quite an interesting space, this SME space, right? And then you add to that, there's this niche businesses or like practices that Fethullah is trying to, you know, really push forward and really encourage all SMEs actually to adopt, because any SME can adopt these practices. But obviously, from a banking perspective, you know, regulations and all those things make it a bit tricky to fund these small SMEs, right? That's why we thought, as you might have heard from the keynote, our transformational CSI strategy seeks to challenge the banking system to see that you can actually make money whilst doing good. Usually, the guys look at from a financial system, they'll say, okay, you need to prove that you can pay first. You need to prove, and the rest will come and ask for you when, you know, the sustainability team is asking for the information for the society report. You know, things about jobs, things about the environmental impact and all those things.
Yeah.
So it's about being able to understand the challenges that the SMEs are facing in their SME life cycle. Early stage, growth stage, established scale, right? And what we've done is that the fortunate part is that we also see our partners as that source of information, center of excellence, because they sit on a ton of data. Fethullah probably sit on the most data in the ecosystem, right? They've got a whole team of clever boys and girls. And I leverage that, you know, to be able to say that, okay, I want to know what's going on. If I'm funding this program, yes, things could be going right for the most part, but you might find that there are challenges, you know? What are those challenges? That's where innovation comes into play, because then it challenges you. So that what are you going to do about that? If you are really in it, you say your strategy is about the green economy, it's about creating catalytic funding for impactful, you know, sustainable economic development and all those things, and you want to create sustainable enterprises and sustainable jobs. You really need to really deal with it. Also, bear in mind in terms of the circumstances in which we operate in South Africa, unemployment and all those things, and inequality and it goes. So you need to make sure that if you really want to make an impact, solve for those challenges. Otherwise, they will continue. You just have to, you're just going to be perpetuating the problem. That's why we really, you know, this platform, like, this is what, you know, the ecosystem has been waiting for. Everyone knows something like this has been required. And when I joined the CSI team, you know, I sort of studied all partners. And when I look at Fethullah, they had, a 3-year or 4-year vision in terms of the CA program, right? From when you started without us, mm-hmm. You probably came to us, and then maybe we were not sure. And then you came back, and then we got in. And when you look at that, they've got a whole thing. And this platform was in there, you know. And when they came back for phase 3, they were coming for that. They didn't change. They said, oh, we feel like it's not the right time. So it's about being audacious, being bold, being visionary, and sticking to it, because you know there is a problem. And something like this will unlock so many opportunities and jobs that the economy desperately needs.
All right. I'm glad.
Yeah, I was just going to jump in and maybe to loop back. So you were saying businesses that are too big for microfinance and not big enough for commercial. I think what's really important here is that we're recognizing that we have to change something fundamentally in South Africa. We really, as South African economy, in a very bad state. We have the worst unemployment. We have the worst Gini coefficient. We're the most unequal society. You know, the legacy of apartheid has not gone away. It's actually got deeper. And so that we have to do things differently. And I think what we're really excited about proving here together with our partners is that it's not just about throwing money and saying, oh, well, throwing money at the problem. It's being really mindful about that. It's about helping. So what we do, what Fetola does, is we help entrepreneurs to build businesses that last. We're particularly proud of the fact that 87% of the businesses that graduate from our accelerators are still in business 10 years later. So I don't know if you know the numbers, but that's 9 times the national average. So we really say it's not just about saying, okay, let's do some training or let's toss a bit of money here. We're really about saying, how do you empower leaders so that they really know how to build a business that can last and that can scale? And then from an access to finance point of view, it's about saying we understand that for good reason, banks have a certain risk mandate. There's a reason they don't just give money because they like you, you know, because that's, it's just not, you know, it's, there's a reason for it.
We and all wish banks like
Yeah, we all wish, yeah, yeah. So what we do is we say, we understand the gap. So there's a gap that traditional banking is quite onerous to pass. You know, there's all sorts of mandates that you need to get money. And traditional SMEs are nowhere near there. They often don't have proper accounting. You know, they can't even give you 6 months of accounting, let alone 3 years of accounting. They maybe don't have their tax up to date. They're not able to articulate their offering. And so what we do is we work from a very early stage in the business to say, listen, if you want to grow your business, if you want to become a business that can be investable and get growth finance, these are the fundamentals. You need to put in basic understanding about money. You need to be comfortable with money. You need to know how to record your finances. You need to know how to manage it. And then you need to learn the language that the investor speaks, because it's like two different worlds. Yeah. You know, bankers, there's banker speak and there's entrepreneur speak. Mm-hmm. And part of the journey, and through Clulu, he's saying, okay, you can go on there and do an assessment and it'll say, yes, this is where you should go from. These are the three best opportunities for you to go to raise finance, but these are the gaps. And then what it does on the platform, it says, these are the gaps you need to fill. And then it provides access to online training and in future through other partnership programs, actual hands-on investment readiness, because it's bridging, it's making the difference. It's like starting to talk the same language, yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. But it's just important that they're good businesses, yeah. But they're embryo businesses.
Yeah.
But it's not a case of just scattershot.
And I think for my sins, I used to be a credit manager, right?
That explains everything.
So what essentially are we trying to do is to say that I've been on that side of the world. I was dealing with very big clients, others billion rand turnover businesses, right? As a gatekeeper, I was not famous. But what I'm trying to do now is that, okay, I know what that side of the business requires. What does good look like? What does bankability, investor ready, all those things look like? And then I'm like, okay, which is why I left where I was. I said, like, I should rather come here and instill these skills and create this awareness in terms of how do you align in terms of what that is required as a person, as a jockey. What behaviors do you need to start cultivating? How do you build your equity? How do you make sure you've got a payment ability? Plus, right? And there's other things as well. But you need to make sure. Otherwise, they will never know, because it's not information that is voluntarily given. You just, oh, your application has been declined. How does that help anyone? You know?
You know what's interesting? I was at a conference just recently, Zimbabwe. And I remember attending a session during the conference. You know, you have your breakaways. And there was a group that was, looking at how do we get funding for female-led initiatives. And I remember, you know, briefly putting my hand up and just saying, "Wow, you need to send your message across in a way that's going to make the money care." Those are the words that I used, and somehow I feel like that's what you're trying. That's what you're sort of trying to do. You guys are trying to help to translate, you know, for the small businesses, translate what is needed on the other side to get you to a point where, you know, a funder can actually say, actually, this is something I can get to. Risks have been addressed. Some of the gaps that Catherine is talking about in terms of, you know, maybe you need to fill in this leadership gap. Maybe you need to have this plan in place for how you're going to plug, you know, particular hole in place. So I do find that particularly interesting and very practical, especially given, you know, the market and where we are now. But maybe just because of time, we could sit here for a long time. There's maybe two or three things I want to address before we go. The first one is, Catherine spoke about embryo businesses, right? But earlier on, you also alluded to scale, right? Because once a business starts, the next thing is how do you, you know, to find the market fit, and then from there, capacitate, you know, trying to fulfill orders, get customers access to market, all of that stuff, right? You need the growth capital to make all of that happen. What is an embryo business? Because I know that someone who's listening to this, who is running one of these businesses, that's the detail that they're looking for, to say, do I qualify for this thing, right? Am I able to engage with Maluta or Karen or Catherine, you know, around this, right? What type of business are you looking at? Of course, we're talking about sustainability and having, you know, that element, you know, of green there. But maybe in terms of giving that guide, where you're sort of whispering to someone to say, "Hey, this is what we're looking for."
Thanks, Madhua. I think to be very clear, when I talk about growing a pipeline of businesses, and maybe that's something we also need to, it's important that we speak about this. We need more partners helping to build a pipeline of businesses. And that means from startup, early stage, or I used embryo, mm-hmm. to businesses that are established that can then act finance. Mm-hmm. So for Hlulu itself, it's not a platform for startup finance. It's a platform where businesses that are established and want to grow to the next level can come and say, "Okay, help me, give me the skills, give me the understanding so that I can put together a good proposal so that I can access the growth finance." So it's not for startups. We have other solutions for that. But it is important. It isn't one of the reasons that I'm so proud of the relationship with the partners that I've got, is they have really understood that you can't just go out with money looking to invest it. In South Africa, if we're going to change the mandate, if we're going to change our future, we have to be helping to build the businesses to make them ready. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I think Nedbank does incredibly well. And
anything to add on this? Because earlier on when I was speaking, I could see, you know, you looked like you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say something around, yes, the finance system is what it is, but it doesn't mean that there's no opportunities for innovation, right? So that's on their part. So what we do is to, because we've got the risk capital, that's what we have, grant funding and concessional funding, we're able to do all these gymnastics, right? Coming from the Olympics, that was so we're able to do all these things with our partners. We're able to be innovative and be agile and solve for things quick, you know, because we really take these things very serious around entrepreneurship, because we're dealing with people's life, we're dealing with the economic growth concerns. So we really like work through with our partners to make sure that we are solving for the ecosystem, and we make sure that platforms such as this, because that seeks to address challenges around inefficiencies in the ecosystem, we really need to invest into these things. We shouldn't be asking, obviously we'll ask questions to understand, but once we've grasped it, we just need to put our you know, money where our mouth is, you know, and invest and make it and let them do their stuff. And then we just need to beg them, just as we've done with our Nedbank Green Economy Fund that we did with Fethullah. That will also be, in my view, complementary to this. Because part of the platform is about, yes, investor readiness and also attracting investment. It could also be where you get your pipeline of what is fundable so that you can then take these guys on that growth scaling trajectory.
I think that's probably what you've just said. A good place for us to end is to talk about the sustainability aspect, you know, that we're trying to address with the businesses that you guys are looking to help with the platform, right? Right now, because I always think that as a startup founder or someone who's in business, you have to be strategic about what's going on. So, for example, in the venture capital space, right, you know that right now the environment is geared towards financial technology businesses. I think health tech businesses have been, you know, doing well as well. EdTech businesses had their moment, but have sort of, you know, fallen by the wayside over the last couple of years. So you then understand these are the industries, you know, that if you gear your business towards this, you know, you're likely to then get that assistance that's going to help you to scale. So from a sustainability point of view, what type of problems, you know, right now, or, you know, the big issues that are receiving the most attention, you know, from funders right now. I'll ask both of you so that we get a take from Fethullah and Nedbank, and then I think that's a good place for us to end. I'll start with you, and then we can give Catherine the last word.
Yeah, obviously there's big, you know, things that always topical things, like renewable energy, and renewable energy has been now, you know, because we are in a good space as a country. But water is a big thing now. I stay in a suburb, and every now and then we don't have water, you know, so that's a problem. And never mind what's happening with the rest of the economy around the 6 million, 8 million people that don't have access to clean drinking water, you know. Things around waste is a big concern around in each value chain, agriculture, the healthcare system. What happens to the waste? Not the hazardous stuff, but the other things, you know, that can be recycled. The automotive space and et cetera, can go into fashion, right? Things that some of the enterprises that have come through Fethullah are doing to recycle and upcycle and make high-end stuff from the fashion and home and decor space. So those are things. And also, obviously, there's other things that can be done from a security perspective. But I think the best person to speak about that is Catherine. So I can also only talk about, I know money. Okay. And I find
no, you're on the money there. You're on the money there, Maluta. Yes, certainly, agriculture and the natural ecosystems, energy, water, and waste would be the key. I think what we're going to find increasingly, we're all seeing climate change around us all the time. I noticed yesterday, Cape Town has had the highest July rainfall I think ever recorded. And you know, it's right happening to us. We can't ignore it. And so you're going to find that business models that accommodate that, that allow people. So even it would be safety and security around droughts, around floods. There's going to be lots of business models that come up, really accommodating those rapid changes that are coming our way. I think that it's very clear that the green economy, sustainability, circularity is becoming a buzzword in South Africa. It has been internationally for a long time in Europe, but it's definitely coming here. We're seeing more and more people focusing on it. So for me, there's two things. I think there's a natural opportunity, but what is exciting about the circular economy model is that it's from a business perspective, it makes sense even if you're not chasing a green finance, if you're not chasing a green market, because the essence of circularity is to design out waste. And that just makes business sense. And so what we found when we've helped these businesses to take up circularity, it's, you know, they were able to diversify their revenue streams. They were able to reduce their cost of production, improve their profit margins. And that just makes sense. And so it's not, I don't think it's a fad. because it's not, you're not going off after a fad market. It's just something, I think somebody said today, that changes the paradigm. You're putting the power in the hands of the small business. You're actually putting the power where the people, where it matters. And I think we're going to see over the next decade that is increasingly going to change the way big business operates. And that becomes exciting. Becomes exciting because, you know, this model is something that can change South Africa's economy, because the circular economy businesses are very easily accessible for people in the township economy, in the rural space. It doesn't cost you a whole load of money to start a business at circular. And I think that becomes exciting.
And I think for me, I think we've reached a point where circularity, sustainability, you know, it's no longer a nice to have to be resilient as a business, either from climate change or from whatever external shocks, either is the inefficiencies of government or whatever. You have to, you know, to adopt these practices in order to, you know, to be resilient, to actually, it's either to survive or to actually thrive as a business. Yeah.
So maybe just one last thing, sorry. Yes. So I think what's exciting to me is that the Fetola method that we've used in the Circular Economy Accelerator is really proved that businesses, small businesses, can make a difference. They don't have to wait for government legislation. They don't have to wait for corporates. They can actually just get on and make change happen from the bottom up. And what excites me about the results that we've proven in the Fetola model is that it should encourage government to come on board and not the other way around. Because I think if we can start to see government the Department of Environment actually pushing through some of the legislation that encourages people to manage their waste, and I think you're going to find a wave of change. But what I like is I'm an entrepreneur, and I like that we're making change happen from the bottom up.
All right. So making change from the bottom up. And that's where we end off today's discussion. It has been, a really great one, just understanding, the Hulu platform and the partnership that has brought the likes of Fetola as well as Nedbank together, as well as JP Morgan and, a couple of other partners, to try and solve, that funding gap. That we find in the market. Great to understand from, a bank point of view, some of the efforts that Nedbank is actually making to try and challenge the status quo, around funding, and also how Fetola is using the lessons that it has gleaned over the years running accelerators and, mentoring a number of businesses around how, you can have businesses sustainably fund themselves and also grow, so that in 5-10 years time, those businesses are still there and where not, they don't become, victims of the stats that say small businesses will be dead within a year, within 3 years, within 5 years. So really great from there. And then finally, also just spending time talking about the sustainability factor. And I definitely think there's a lot of credence in that. I'll speak personally to say that I grew up on a giant sugar farm, and we saw a lot of that baked into the way that the company operated, because it was basically a sugar farm, sugar mill, and then a village around it. That's how we grew up. And in that community, there were so many aspects that I look back now and I say, this was sustainability, but it's just that someone built it into how the company operated. When you eat sugarcane, there's the white stuff that you spit out because you suck the juice and then you spit the white stuff out. That white stuff, that they would run that into electricity boilers, those large boilers that you often associate with Eskom, they would feed that instead of coal. And that, became how they would keep the mill and surrounding areas fed with electricity for 9 months of the year, because the national grid in that area was unreliable. But it meant that you were able to power your operation, power the community, but keep your operation running, because because it's in your best interest to do so. So that's sustainability at work and certainly a nod to the circular economy. That's where we end off. Thank you so much for your conversation with Maluta from Nedbank, as well as Catherine, who is from Fetola. Thank you so much for being with us.
Cool.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.